And welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is State Democratic Party Chair, none other than Mr. Ben Winkler. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
I am so good. So glad to be with you and so fired up that we had the Vice President of the United States here rocking yesterday in the great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, man. It's been a while, man. It's good to hear from you.
It's great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Let me, I'm here with Sandy Williams. I don't know if you know Sandy. He's a fellow Harvard graduate.
Yeah, I predated you in economics by a long, long time. But, yeah.
What house were you in, Sandy?
I was in Elliott House. How about you?
I was in Cabot. I was a quadling.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's
great to be with both of you.
Yeah.
So Joe Biden is here again. He's in Superior. Kamala Harris was just here yesterday in Waukesha. President Biden was in Milwaukee about a month ago. What's going on?
Well,
it's a big country. It's a big country, man. It's a big country.
You know, because of the Electoral College, votes don't all count the same. Wisconsin voters have more power in their ballots than people just about anywhere else. And the last two presidential elections, Wisconsin was the state that tipped the winner over the line and into the White House. And it could very well be the same thing this time, which means anyone listening right now, you could be the person who chooses the next president of the United States, and you can decide the future of American freedom.
You know, I don't think you know it, but on Friday, we have Senator Ron Johnson in this studio live for an hour. He's going to be on from 8 to 9. And, you know, we've got some questions we're going to be asking the senator. If you had a chance and you wanted to ask a question of Senator Ron Johnson, who will be here on Friday, what would you ask him?
Well, he keeps slipping his way out of answering questions directly. I would ask him whether he plans to try to overturn the next time that Donald Trump loses to Joe Biden. And I'd ask him whether he can commit right now to voting against any national abortion ban that might come his way in the United States Senate, because we're going to need every vote we can to stop that abortion ban train from going through if the GOP wins in November.
Yeah, those are good points. You know, in fact, Earl, you asked him what question he would ask. I think that the civic media has set up a process for our listeners to go to the web, the internet, and to essentially participate in a process for helping us figure out what some consensus questions from our listeners are. What is the site that they do that?
So you could go to civic.audio/Earl and put in the questions that you think you'd like us to ask Senator Ron Johnson on Friday. Again, that's civic.audio/Earl. Let me ask you.
Let me just explain to Ben that you know what, this is an interesting kind of a new app sort of a thing. It's in the cloud. It's a crowdsourcing process for developing consensus. And it's being used by business in a lot of places to basically get the anonymous groups so that you don't have the bias of a dominant leader. You don't have the bias of an affirmation bias built into it. But you try and find out what people really think and really want and on a consensus basis. And we're excited about using the tool for making sure that we ask the questions our listeners want to ask of Senator Johnson, but I think we'll be using the tool in the future too.
Huh. Super interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good match with civic media. It's nice to hear about this innovation. That's the kind of thing that happens in Joe Biden's America. People come up with new great ways of doing things and don't try to take us back to the 1950s or 1840s as the Republicans seem to want to do.
So what do you want to say to this listening audience across the state about the importance of this upcoming election? Sandy and I spent a lot of time, Ben, talking about the middle class and the struggles of the middle class in this nation and how frustrated people are. What do you want to say to the audience that fits into that category, that is struggling in this society?
Yeah, fundamentally, Joe Biden, Tammy Baldwin, they get it. They get you. They're on your side. They've been fighting for Buy America policies. They've been fighting with these giant special interests to bring down costs. The cost of insulin is capped at $35 a month. It was through the roof before they passed this law. They're going to keep on fighting, and they're never going to stop focusing on working people. This is, the president who was on the line with UAW members before they got their record contract. And the job's not done. Clearly, we all know when we buy eggs, the job's not done. But there is work to do that they are never going to stop fighting to do. And that is really different from Donald Trump. If you listen to him, you watch what he says, he's all about himself. He's fighting for himself. He's getting everyone embroiled in his own drama, trying to overturn elections and, make it all about him, punish his enemies, free the January 6th insurrectionists. That's what he's talking about. And Joe Biden wakes up every day thinking about how do we build the middle class, because the middle class built this economy and unions built the middle class. Like, that is the fundamental difference between these two candidates. And that's where you get a Donald Trump that wants the government to go in and tell you what you can do with your own body. He's focused on domination, control, and his own power. And Joe Biden, Tammy Baldwin, these are servant leaders who think that working people should get a fair break in this economy and everyone should have an equal shot.
So, Ben, people, we talk about motivating voters to come out. And, you just, gave some reasons why it's important that voters come out. But there are a lot of voters who are hemming and hawing, and they're trying to find, we got broken government, and they're trying to figure out, how is my life going to change? What do you want to say to them, man?
Well, I'll give an example. There's a lot of kids in this state who drink water from lead pipes, and it can affect your entire life.
No question.
If you're drinking water that has lead in it, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Tammy Baldwin cast a tie-breaking vote in the Senate. They passed bills to fund replacing every single lead pipe in Wisconsin, in America. Donald Trump is talking about repealing Biden's legislation if he comes in. And it's just this question of whether we want to make things better or whether we want to live in Donald Trump's head for the next 4 years. And, it takes time to actually get this work done. The ground is frozen right now. It's not like an overnight miracle change, but they're actually doing the hard work, sometimes behind the scenes work. Let's much less drama, much less actually focus on the things that will make the change. We have a manufacturing resurgence in this state. We have record low unemployment month after month after month. Inflation is coming down. We still got to work to drive prices down, but we're turning a corner from a mess that Donald Trump created. He crashed the economy at the end of his term. We remember what it was like in the COVID pandemic. He was in absolute freefall, and Joe Biden came in with a turnaround job to do, and he's doing it. So I have to say, sometimes you think this election, these people are exactly the same. Doesn't matter who I vote for. There's such a difference between a Joe Biden America and a Donald Trump America. And it's a difference between freedom and the government telling you what to do in your personal life. And it's the difference between the ultra rich handing out favors to your friends the way that Donald Trump loves to do, or a government that fights for working people. And the difference will be in the water that you drink, the air that you breathe, and whether you get a family supporting paycheck when you go to work and work your heart out every week.
Well, I think that's all of that is there's concrete evidence about what you're saying. On the other hand, we find the MAGA movement and the opposition that many of the people supporting Trump are people in the middle class, people who are in the paycheck to paycheck category, people who would and should be beneficiaries of a government that was going to solve those problems by changing the way they realize benefits, making their life more affordable by taking out of their budget some of the very expensive things that governments in other countries are providing to them, like child daycare and health care and post-secondary education cost support. But for some reason, the Democratic message to date has failed to reach those people because they seem to be voting their emotions. They seem to be voting their frustration. They seem to be voting their anger at their situation, or seizing a hold of social issues that are based on things that frighten them. And so how are we going to deal with that? How are you going to, do you think you can get through to them with the kind of reasoned discussion you just described, or do we need to be more concrete?
I will say, it doesn't matter if you're middle class, rich or poor, people don't like the idea that in the most intense and painful moments in their lives, when they're thinking about what to do with a pregnancy that has careened into a catastrophic health situation, that the government's going to come in and tell their doctor that they'll go to jail if they provide the care that they swore an oath to provide. People don't want to imagine that their daughters and granddaughters will have less freedoms than they did. And yeah, people want to make sure we have an economy that actually rewards work instead of just rewarding wealth. And what we've seen over and over in elections over this last 2 years is that when freedom and democracy, when abortion and you know, the basic right to control your own body, make your own decisions, and when the question of whether election results will be overturned to keep those in power who think that they should have the power to send the voters, when those things are on the line, Democrats win. Democrats win up and down. We saw that in the Supreme Court race here in our own state. And I think that the Republicans keep trying to throw out chum and distract people from those things. For Democrats, we have to keep coming back to the very personal stakes, make vivid and real what this is going to mean to people, and recognize that we can talk about these freedom questions, like the vice president's reproductive freedom tour that started in Wisconsin yesterday, and the economic questions. I point to Joe Biden, who's going to be in Superior, Wisconsin. They just put in $1 billion to repair the bridge over to Duluth in Superior, Wisconsin. That create jobs as they build it and sustain working people who drive over that bridge every day to get to work. And that's what Democrats do.
Hey, Ben, I want to thank you very much, man, for taking out the time. You know the number. Just let us know, and we'll continue this as we move towards the election.
So appreciate it. Look forward to more.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Ben Winkler. He is the chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. 844-967. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We got a couple, you know, snippets from candidate Donald Trump that I think it's, you know, you should hear. Calvin, if you please.
So Nikki Haley says now she has the two-person race that she's always wanted. She has been coming after you strongly in the past few days. It's worked both ways, and you've come after her as well. She keeps bringing up your age lately. What do you say about that?
Well, I think I'm a lot sharper than her. I would do this. I would sit down right now and take an aptitude test, and it would be my result against her result, and she's not going to win. She's not going to even come close to winning. In fact, when I heard the word cognitive, you know, I've taken two of them now. I took one with Doc Ronnie, who's now a fantastic, you know, White House doctor, and a fantastic congressman from Texas, Admiral, the White House doctor, Jackson, Ronnie Jackson, and he's now a great congressman from Texas. I took one then, and I took one recently. I think the result was announced, and it was, I aced it twice. I aced it.
He knew but a whale.
I would say that, you know, I actually elephant. Called for a cognitive test for everybody running for president, because I actually think that's a good idea. It would be nice to have an intelligent person be president.
Kelly has two.
You know, these
so
cognitive.
How do you see the race?
These cognitive tests, these cognitive tests are not aimed at measuring intelligence. They're aimed at measuring whether you have slipped into senility or not. So it's like short-term memory issues and things like that that they're measuring. Well, just to be concrete about this, it's not intelligence.
Well, he said he aced them.
He aced them, I know. Yeah. The only tests he ever aced were the ones that people came back and told him how they did when he paid for the testing.
If you thought that was something, listen to this one.
Instinct, and I will build an iron dome over our country, a state-of-the-art missile defense shield made in the USA. We do it for other countries. We help other countries. We don't do it for ourselves. We need it, too. You know, Reagan proposed that many years ago, Star Wars. He proposed it many, many years ago, but at that time, there was no technology. It was just like it looked good. But we have unbelievable technology. We shoot them down. I've seen so many things. I've seen shots that you wouldn't even believe. Missile launched. They go, missile launched. And you hear a bell go. I mean, I see this. It's so incredible. And these guys, these geniuses, they go, these are not muscle guys here. They're muscle guys up here, right? And they calmly walk to a seat. Ding, 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 ding. They've only got 17 seconds to figure this whole thing out, right? Boom. Okay. Missile launch, pshin, poom. And we don't have it here, but we help other countries in having it. No.
Hey, Sandy.
Nothing worrisome about that.
This is the guy this is the guy that we want to lead the world, right?
Well, you know, the thing is, I've been thinking about this, and I think one of the things that he's obviously he never rehearses anything. It's all stream of conscience. Unfortunately, the stream of conscience lets you hear all of the ideas. And you know, when you think that that's all of the, it's like an echo chamber in there, and then things spill out, you know, pew. It's like, sounded like an 11-year-old describing something. We can laugh, except that
it's not funny.
This man is apparently going to get the nomination to be the Republican nominee for president and has a clear opportunity to win that election and become a president again. And so, wow, that's all I can say is when I hear that stuff, I laugh. Half of me is laughing. The other half is horrified.
Well, you know, Sandy, the truth of the matter is, here's a guy talking about building an iron dome over America.
Well, you know, Israel.
When is the last time rockets shot?
Israel has a thing they call the iron dome, which is their missile defense. And an iron dome for like New York City makes sense or whatever. But the notion of an iron dome that would, you know, we have a broad missile defense system already for the United States. Okay, I mean he's talking nonsense. It's not like we don't already have installed a broad defense system that is designed to deal with intercontinental ballistic missiles headed our way.
Another waste of resources that he clearly, I mean, Star Wars, remember last time he brought in Star Wars? And when have you heard anything about that, you know, creation, a new branch of the military?
Oh, you mean Space Force.
Yeah, Space Force. Space Force.
Yeah, Space Force. Well, you know, this is somebody who thinks that his gut will tell him all that he needs to know. He doesn't take advice from people. He makes it clear that, in fact, that that's an important element to who he is, which is that, you know, I rely on my gut. I don't listen to advisors. I don't take the assembled intelligence in a room because I have all the intelligence I need. All one need do is listen to those two soliloquies and realize we need more intelligence than that.
He sounds like an infant.
Yeah.
I mean, he clearly does. And the thing is, he stands in front of a camera and he thinks he's having an intellectual dialogue on serious issues.
Right.
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 And for those of you who support him, I don't know how you defend that. Right. But he's your guy.
Well, it's, yeah, you know,
I'm saying it, ping pow.
Yeah. Ping. The machine that goes ping. You know, I don't know what, you don't know where to start when you listen to that stuff, but it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, but so they beat up Joe Biden from reading off the teleprompter.
Yeah.
The teleprompters are there so you don't wind up sounding like that, right?
Right. Or describing Nikki Haley as being responsible for all of the defense at the Capitol on January 6th.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi.
When he meant to say Nancy Pelosi, which again wasn't true either. She wasn't responsible either. But the conspiracy theory involves Pelosi and not Haley.
But Sandy, I wonder what the people who support him think when they hear those things or when they see those things. I don't think it even registers, Sandy. It's like they totally dismiss that because he's their guy.
They think it's shtick. I think they believe it's his shtick.
And, yeah, I've heard people say that.
You know,
he doesn't really mean that.
Yeah, he doesn't mean it. That's not who he is. It's just a facade he's putting on. It's like crazy like a fox. Who knows? I think the thing is he needs to be taken seriously because apparently a lot of people are taking him seriously.
844-967-2789 is the number. We'll return.
Saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't lie if I tried.
All right, welcome back to 1967. Oh, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show.
Back when America was great again.
Make America great again.
Let's just pick 1967. Was that a great year? We were in the middle of Vietnam.
No, 1967.
Milwaukee was on fire because of race issues.
1967, 1968, some of the most impactful, you know, a year later, the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Martin Luther King. Malcolm X, you know, just on 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Andy Williams. But I want to make sure that you get this information because when we ask the questions of Ron Johnson on Friday, what we're asking you to do is go to civic.audio/Earl. Again, civic.audio/Earl. You got time to grab a pencil and write this down. Because what we're going to do, Sandy, is that tracks all of these different calls.
Well, yeah.
It's questionnaire.
The people who go to that will provide information suggesting what it is they would like to have asked of the senator, and they will also see a compilation of what other people have asked, and they'll be asked to rank them. It's a very, very interesting and scientific approach to developing a consensus about what a bunch of people are interested in, and we're very eager to have the listening audience do this so that we can make sure that we talk to the senator about the things they would like to see us talk to him about.
All right, none other than Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. How you doing, man? What's happening?
I'm good. That song you just played, I was in Pleiku in Vietnam when that we heard that. Where's Stu? Where's Stu? Would you please call Stu?
You know, you know my co-host, I'm playing some music during, you know, my co-host era and your era, you know, but you know, the other 3 days of the week I'm jamming. You not hearing it?
Huh? It was just the idea that when I listen, I have to turn the sound down. In between the
talk. Oh, you know, man, I get so many compliments on the music I play, man.
You just can't please everybody all the time, man. Earl.
Hey, Al, did you know Senator Ron Johnson's going to be in the studio Friday?
Yeah, I know. I heard.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
I have a question for him.
Oh, go ahead. Hey, Cal.
No, I have a question
Calvin,
for him.
Be quick with that. Drop button. Okay. Hey, be quick. Be quick.
My question to Ron Johnson is when he take his butt back to Oshkosh and quit harassing the citizens of the state of Wisconsin. Because he's a fool.
See, that's what I mean. I told you to be quick with that drop button.
There you go.
hey, Al, that's one of the reasons why we've got this questionnaire, you know, where people can call again, civic.audio.
Well, they don't call it. They go to their computer and go to the internet website.
Yeah. And so we're going to scientifically, you know, ask the questions that the majority of the audience wants us to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing in this last period I thought we'd talk about, is the fact that, yesterday or day before yesterday, the stock market was announced at an all-time high, broke through
again.
30, again. And, you know, this was the thing that Donald Trump used to point at all the time as the main thermometer for just how successful the Trump economy was. Well, the Biden economy is matching that in every way. We have all-time high employment levels. We have all-time high stock market performance. Almost every economic indicator is at an all-time high. Oil prices are descending down to close to the low that they were at with Trump.
As low as level.
And so, you know, the fact is that the general economy is robust. And it is, if Donald Trump was going to take credit for it during the Trump period, then I think Joe Biden is to be given the same credit that Donald Trump was claiming for the Biden economy. And the problems that exist for the middle class family existed during the Trump economy, and they continue to persist during the Biden economy, because this is not the function of the presidency. It's something that can be changed in one presidency. It's a function of a bunch of policies which have transferred to the middle class budget a bunch of benefit costs which they did not experience in the 1970s, the cost of health care, the cost of retirement. They didn't need child daycare because it was just one breadwinner. Society has changed. The economy has changed. And what these middle-class families need to understand is, one, they're in a big boat with lots of other middle-class families. Number two, it's not going to get improved by voting their emotions, okay? It's not going to get improved by voting about immigration issues. It's not going to get improved by voting on various social issues. It's going to get improved by voting on the economic issues they face, which involve the cost of health care, the accessibility of health care, the cost of child daycare, the cost of post-secondary education, and the burden of student debt. Those are the issues that matter to Tom, Dick, and Mary.
You know, Sandy, this goes back again to a conversation we had earlier in the show, and it's going to keep going back to that. Because it clearly is what is should be, if it's not one of the main focuses of our nation. And as I stated earlier, we're at a point where, you know, people keep saying what we can't afford. You know, we can't afford this, we can't afford that. and people need to do these things for themselves. You hear that. Well, they shouldn't have had the children if they couldn't afford them. These are responses that you're getting from some elected officials, Sandy. And yet you say to people, man, that's not the way the rest of the world looks at it. They understand how important it is that you make sure that the youth of the world, of their nations, are secure and safe. I was talking about last week, you know, 1 in 10 American children have attempted suicide.
One in ten.
1 in 10.
Oh my goodness.
And so Sandy, why is that not a major focus, a major concern, right? When we're talking about elections and all those things, why is the fact that 1 in 10 American children have attempted suicide, why is that not up there with the conversations that we're having while we're running, you know, this is the presidential election. Shouldn't that be, you know, one of the main things that we should be focusing on? In other nations, it would be.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the fact is that most nations put the highest priority on the education and health and safety of their children so that their children have every opportunity moving forward to become strongly contributing factors and players in the community and in the economy. And, you know, we seem to have lost sight of that with, as you can tell, because all you have to do is look at our policies, okay? You don't have to look at our words. There's plenty of lip service given to
right.
us. But from our policies, it's clear that we have not placed a high priority on that.
Well, Sandy, those nations don't say, you had those kids, it's your responsibility, right? They don't say those things because they know that the future of our nations are in the youth, right? I mean, that you don't have to be, you know, a rocket scientist like Donald Trump to understand that the future of the nation is not with you and I. It's with the youth.
Well, the fact is that the costs we're talking about don't get solved by having 3 children rather than 4 children, and the issues we're talking about are just plain different. And accountability, sure, I think family accountability is something that everyone would wish for in the United States society. But then again, you can't order that and you can't require it. It's something that has to evolve sociologically and culturally. And unfortunately, we have a lot of pressures in our economy induced by poverty that run contrary to it.
You know, Sandy, it's still amazing to me. The wealthiest nation on earth, and we keep talking about poverty in the wealthiest nation on earth, right? I mean,
yeah.
I just for the life of me, I know Dr. King in the 60s and 50s was talking about America and poverty, and we're not talking about poverty in urban centers. We're still talking about poverty in it used to be at the Appalachians. But it's not just poverty in the Appalachians anymore. It's in rural places, and it's actually grown. It hasn't shrunk.
Right. I mean, the sorry thing is that we have this robust economy, and we still have a bunch of people who aren't participating in it adequately, and we have a bunch of young people who don't have the kind of futures that they ought to have in a robust economy. And so we need to address those things. That's not un-American to recognize those facts. I think it's American to both recognize those facts and to roll up our sleeves and work on solving it so that the America tomorrow is better than the America today. And that's not to denigrate the America of today. You know, we have many, you know, most people who are migrating in the world, their number one choice for emigration to is the United States because they see it as a place of great potential and great opportunity. But we still have to look at what we have in America, and we need to make sure that we have for everybody in America and provide for them what they need. And those who want to worry about limiting the immigration in the United States, I think, ought to be making sure that the first thing they're worrying about is the opportunities of the young people in America, whether they be immigrants or not, that the community interest in the education, health, and safety of our young people at large is number one issue.
You know, Sandy, what gets me is the short-sightedness of all of this. And you keep hearing about the mental illness that is permeating amongst our young people. And if you can't tie a correlation into why young people are feeling that way with the fact that they don't feel safe, with the fact that they don't feel secure, those things are easy for us to see, Sandy. You can't tell me a nation that can do the things that our nation does can't see the correlation between insecure children and their futures and why we wind up in the kind of situations that we wind up in. And surely the answer is not build more prisons, but that's the mentality our nation has. We don't understand if we don't do something to address those children while they're young, they're going to follow a path that is going to lead them to being locked up. And how is that an answer?
Well, you know, I just think that what we need is for people to sort of drop their emotional outlook about things and to just become rational about evaluating politically, sociologically, policy-wise, what it is that they ought to be pursuing in the self-interest of their community and themselves.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Don't forget, we got Quick Draw Calvin on the drop button, so make sure you don't do what Al did. All right, we'll return. Vietnam when this film was around. It's at the same time, 1967. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays. My co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. How you doing, man? Eric, are you there? Okay, so we'll I don't know what happened to Eric. But Sandy, you know, no matter, you know, how much we talk about these things, and I know it's ad nauseum, people get frustrated. I think many people in this nation, Sandy, are just they're just frustrated, man. You know, it doesn't matter whether they're in our generation or not, or if they're young. Our nation is headed in the wrong direction. It's safe to say that, right?
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, and it's interesting because to the extent that the liberals view the world as headed in the wrong direction, that's viewed as not liking America, okay? And to the extent that conservatives think it's headed in the wrong direction, they think it's headed in the wrong direction because it's being led there by liberals who are taking it to an un-American place. And so they think that, you know, that America needs to return to something that was more American than where it's currently trending. And all of that's a very interesting sort of psychological profiling of what it is that's America. And I think what it really reflects is the fact that nostalgia is always a warm feeling for people. And there are those who want America to return to something that nostalgically felt better to them than what is currently ongoing. So if people are experiencing frustration right now, then they say, well, let me go back. Okay. And some others would say, I can identify what's wrong and I want to change it so that it's better. those people are viewed then as threats.
Let's go to Joseph from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Joseph. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I just want to say you guys are crazy. I'm one of like 5 listeners. Grow up. All you do is deal with emotion.
Don't run, man. Can we have a conversation? Or are you going to run? Since you're one of 5 listeners, I have to ask the question, man. Why are you listening?
Listen, you lose 20%. I mean, I've looked up your Nielsen ratings. You're at 0.01.
Why are you listening?
Because I hate your company. I used to work. You met me. You know who I am.
I don't know you, man. Where do I know you from?
I used to try to sell for your station, and no one could sell anything.
Oh, I don't know anything. Let me say this to you, sir. If we are what you say we are, then why is United States Senator Ron Johnson going to be here on Friday? Riddle me that, Batman.
No idea why Ron Johnson is going to come.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Eric, what's going on, man?
Yeah, hello, Earl. Hi, Sandy. Yeah, that was a disgruntled fella there. So, you know, whatever the ratings are, you got a few listeners out there. So, you're still growing. So I was going to go back a little bit to what you're saying earlier, and like what Sandy was saying about, you know, heading to un-American places or whatever. We're heading to an un-American quote unquote place. Period. I mean, the year 2043 is that number that terrifies MAGA. You know, it's in stone. It's happening. It's not really much they can do about it. All they can do is seize the power as best they can. But on the flip side of that, what you were talking about earlier with all the concerns people had and what's your, you know, what should we do? Mine's a little different in that I would say that passing John Conyers HR 40 would be my top priority, because all of these other concerns we talk about are all inevitably connected to disempowering anti-black racism in this country. You know, if you look at healthcare, like too many people remain unmoved by facts showing that black women and infants have always suffered far more than white women and infants. And education, you know, black children have always had an inferior education experience, always. And again, too many people remain unmoved. And until we talk honestly about why we're here, we're never going to accomplish, you know, as much as the United Nations could and would. So I believe HR 40, you know, would be something that could kickstart that conversation. Of course, we all know why that conversation just keeps getting denied, but I would dare any conservative to find a solid reason it shouldn't be enacted into law that doesn't come off as racism or white supremacy, et cetera. So
thank you.
Let me just ask one question. You mentioned the year 2043 as being the year that people were, I'm not familiar with 2043.
Year that it's inevitable that the quote-unquote white population.
Oh, I see, yes.
Become the statistical minority.
Aha,
that's
yes.
What this is all about.
Yeah, I don't
between
disagree.
Between Christian fascism and all these other things, you know, the getting rid of Roe v. Wade is about 2043. It's all about that. All of these things are basically inevitable to that, and they want to basically coalesce before that date arrives, because it's arriving, period.
Hey, Eric, thank you as always, man. Good stuff. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, and thank you as always, Sandy. Up next, Madnair on Air, Jane Madnair, and Greg Bott. I'll see you on tomorrow.